Little Foxes by Michael Morpurgo, Chapter 10. By dawn, they were over the hills and dropping down into a broad valley of grey shadows. The river that wound its way along it could have been seen only fleetingly, glimpsed through wandering mists. For some time now, Billy had been on the lookout for a place they could hide up that day. Lights were coming on in the farmhouses all over the valley, and the birds had already finished their dawn chorus when he heard a tractor start up on the farmstead to one side of the road. He spotted its funnel, belching black smoke, and pulled the fox behind the safety of a hedgerow. The tractor rumbled up the farm track towards them. Billy watched as the farmer offloaded the milk churns from the trailer onto the stand by the roadside. As he did so, he bumped one of them down too hard and the lid flew off, slopping milk out down the side of the urn. The farmer cursed roundly as he jumped down off the trailer to recover the lid. Until that moment, Billy had not even been thinking about food. He'd already accepted that they would be going hungry again that day, but this was an opportunity it was too good to miss. He waited until the tractor had disappeared down the farm track, its trailer rattling behind it, and then he was across the road hauling the fox along with him. He left the fox sitting by the roadside and jumped up onto the stand. He pulled the lid off one of the churns, dipped his cupped hands into the milk and drank until he could drink no more. An impatient bark below him reminded him that he was not alone. The churn was heavier than he imagined, but he managed to tip it and fill the lid for the fox, who lapped it eagerly, licking it clean before looking up at Billy for more, and Billy obliged once again. But in his hurry, he tipped the churn just too much this time, and suddenly the churn was leaning too far, and his numb fingers could hold it no longer, and the crash and the clatter as it hit the ground echoed down the valley, and the churn was thundering down the farm track, leaving a great white trail of milk behind it. Billy did not have to tell the fox to run. He was gone already under the gate, and it was all Billy could do to catch him and retrieve his lead. The fields round about were too open. They would be spotted, so he pulled the fox down into a field ditch and waited. Billy peered out through the long grass and could just see the farmer and his wife running up the track. She was stamping her foot with fury. "I've told you times, Albert, times I've told you. That stand is too small," I said. "Only built for 10 churns and you've tried to squeeze 14 on there. Well, what do you expect?" "I can't understand it," said the farmer, who had retrieved the rolling churn. "Can't understand it at all. I've told you and I've told you," said the farmer's wife. "How many times do I have to tell you before you'll listen?" "I know, dear, I know, but no, I won't say it. You'll only be cross if I do." "No, I won't," she said. "Look at this milk. It's good money wasted, Albert. Makes me cry to look at it." "Well, if you're sure you won't be cross, I was going to say that there's no point in crying over spilled milk." And she laughed, despite herself, chasing the farmer back through the lane, splashing through the elongating puddle of milk as she ran. In his ditch, Billy laughed too, laughed till he was weak. The fox looked at him, amazed, but that only made Billy laugh longer and louder. From the ditch, Billy could see a 4-bay Dutch barn stacked high with hay, some distance from the farmhouse. The barn, he thought, would be as good a place to sleep that day if they could climb up into it. The barn was only 3 bays full, and there was a hay elevator standing in the 4th bay. Billy did not like heights, but it was getting lighter all the time, and there was nowhere else to hide up, so he tucked the fox under his arm and began to climb up. The elevator wobbled dangerously, but he clung on and kept climbing until he reached the top, where he crawled away into the middle of the stack and lay down, exhausted. The corrugated roof was so close above his head he could reach up and touch it. The fox stole about the haystack, peering nervously over the edge and then backing away. He seemed interested in exploring, but Billy called him back and he came willingly enough and lay down beside him and joined him in a deep and untroubled sleep. Neither the prickly hay nor the heavy heat of the haystack disturbed them. Billy was almost roused once by what sounded like a sudden gust of strong wind passing overhead, but it came only as an intermission between dreams and did not wake him. Voices woke them that evening, voices that Billy recognised at once as the farmer and his wife. "Got to get it in tonight," she said. "They speak of rain before morning." "They always speak of rain, dear," he said. "It's their job to be gloomy. I'd be happier to leave it till tomorrow and risk it. It's a bit green, that hay, you know. Could do with the sun on it for another day at least, I'd say. Don't like to stack hay too green. Seen too many of these barn fires in my time. That's what happens if you bring it in too green." But when she mentioned something about wasted milk and rickety milk stands, it was clearly sufficient to change his mind, for the trailer came rocking back and forth all evening, high with its load of hay. Billy watched anxiously as the hay in the fourth bay began to pile ever higher and higher. It was hot and close under the roof of the barn, with little enough air to breathe. He retreated to the darkest corner of the stack and hoped they would not be seen. More help had arrived, and there were half a dozen people swarming around the barn as the clouds gathered grey and thick over the trees on the far side of the valley. And all the time, the haystack was growing higher and higher. Any minute now, they would reach the top of the stack and Billy and the fox would be spotted. There was nothing for it. He pulled aside a few bales until he had made a trench wide enough and long enough to take the two of them. And then he pulled the bales back over the top, leaving only enough of a hole for them to breathe through. Billy peeped out from time to time to keep watch, but once the stack had reached the top in the fourth bay, and there were men working on the same level, he dared not even do this, but lay buried in his grave of hay with the fox, sweating till his clothes were wet with it. Thunder rolled around the skies and ricocheted across the valley, and with it came torrential rain, drumming with a deafening force on the corrugated roof above them. And within a quarter of an hour, all the haymakers had dispersed, and Billy thought it was safe to push away the covering bales and climb out from his hiding place. He ventured to the edge and found they were alone, and Billy sat with his legs dangling out over the edge of the stack and breathed the cooler air outside the barn. As he sat there, he saw the first of the lightning crackling in the sky over the darkening valley, and he counted the seconds between the thunder and the lightning to see how far away the storm was. 1 second for 1 mile, someone once told him. He counted 10, and it was getting closer all the time. It was the fox who led him to his only food for 2 days. Absorbed by the storm, he had not noticed that the fox had disappeared. When at last he turned round to look for him, he saw him stalking low over the hay bales. The hen flew up before the fox sprang and ran away, squawking with terror before taking off into the night. Billy scrambled over the bales on his hands and knees and arrived at the nest of eggs at about the same time as the fox. There were 6 warm eggs, and Billy shared them out equally, cracking them into his hand so that nothing was wasted. He had never before eaten a raw egg, and to begin with, he was revolted by the idea. But he watched a fox devour one with relish and followed suit. And no egg had ever tasted that good before.